Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Season 2, Episode 66 of Comic Book Nation, the official podcast of comicbook.com. I am your host, Kofi Outlaw, and with me today, I got Matt Aguilar.
What up?
Brandon Davis is back with us again.
Hello.
And producer Jim Viscardi is stepping in front of the camera again.
Hello.
Yeah, way to creep out the fans.
Yeah.
So we got a lot to talk about today. BD is here because he once again, I feel like in as many years, has got to come to talk with us about the ending of The Walking Dead, which has been, I mean, that's been your baby and your beat for a long time, but it's coming to an end, the AMC series. So we're going to go into what all's happening with the ending of The Walking Dead and where the franchise is going from here, because it's in a lot of directions. And so we gotta talk about all of that. And BD is the man in the know. So he's here to guide us through. But we also got other things to talk about. We have a new version of Dune to discuss that has just made its first big splash with its big trailer debut. We got more updates on the next-gen gaming front with what's going on with the PS5 price, what's happening with the Xbox price, and a bunch of other gaming stuff Matt really wanted to touch on, so we let him talk about that stuff. We got to talk about a prequel series for RoboCop that's in the works, like a first quick look at The Mandalorian Season 2 and what all's going on with that. Plus, Matt also wanted to indulge in some Power Rangers talk. He's got some exciting stuff to tell you, and he's all hyped about that. And we're going to be talking about comics this week, including Marvel's Empire, which, you know, I feel some kind of way about, and we're gonna discuss. So, let's get to it right at the top. Dune. Depending on your age, you may or may not even know, like, what the hell Dune even is. If you're, like, my age or, like, Matt or Jim and, like, our age, then you probably remember growing up with the crazy David Lynch movie version of Dune with the people with the blue eyes and the sandworms. And if that's all you remember, that's okay, because a lot of the times that was all I remembered as a kid, or all I could pretty much comprehend about what Dune was about. But of course, as I've gotten older and, you know, gotten more into sci-fi, you know, you learn a lot more about it and what it's all about. And this new version is coming our way by Denis Villeneuve. I think I got pretty close there.
Sounds close enough.
Close enough. Yeah, I mean, he has crazy to pronounce French name, but yeah, I mean, it's the guy who did Blade Runner, who did Prisoners, who did Arrival. Yeah, Denis is like one of the
He makes very good looking movies.
Yes, very, very good looking movies. So kind of like we were all kind of seeing these production photos. This has got a huge cast, led by, of course, everybody's favorite young star, Timothée Chalamet. I don't even know if I said his name right. I just like to kind of just pronounce it. I just love pronouncing his name whatever kind of way I feel like it is. I mean, the dude's famous. I mean, he's so famous. Who cares what I think, right? But Chalamet, Timothée Chalamet, Rebecca Ferguson, Oscar Isaac, Josh Brolin, Stellan Skarsgård, Dave Bautista, that person you heard mentioned before, Zendaya and like Jason Momoa. Dave,
which one is it? Can I just ask? Is it? I've heard both. Is it Zendaya or Zendaya? Which one is it?
I don't know. I've heard both now. I'm just trying not to screw it up and get canceled, man.
Brandon, you've met her. Did she correct anyone?
Just curious.
Honestly, yeah. Once upon a time, I knew the correct answer. But I hear it so many. And I'm going to get crucified by like her fans right now. But like,
no, but like I hear it split down the middle. Every other interview
I've heard it both ways so many times that like every time I like have met her, I know the proper way to say it and I address her properly and like people will say it properly. But then like by the time I'm talking about that interview, like everybody else is saying their way.
I believe it's Zendaya.
Yes, I believe that's what I think it is.
Is that right before he goes in, he uses that app that tells him like how to pronounce it. And after that, it's just
that app is money.
Yeah. I mean, like, no lie though, that app is really money.
It's great.
Yeah. So yeah. Anyway, so aside from name pronunciations, it's got a huge cast, and so we got to learn about who everybody's playing, and they did kind of one of those virtual rollouts, which are becoming in vogue in 2020, with an interview, Fast and Furious style, with a Q&A with the cast beforehand, before we got the trailer. And this one was actually helpful because it does help to sit down and explain to people like what Dune is, you know, and who is who, and like what these factions are and the houses and House Atreides, and, you know, kind of lay that all out. Yeah. And so we got to see it. And as Jim has already alluded to, because this is Denny, like it looks great. Yeah. The visuals are stunning. The sets, the props, the costumes. I mean, this is going to re-inspire Dune fever all over again, just from the visual aesthetic, like beyond.
Is it though?
Yeah.
Because I am someone who literally had like, I could care less about this movie, and it feels awful because it's got a stacked cast. I have zero affinity for the original. It just feels like a movie like made for film Twitter.
Maybe, no, I don't think so. I mean,
grenades already.
I think the people they chose are smart. I think the people they chose are going to bring a lot of people who normally would never have sought out Dune to the table to at least try to experience this. And like I said, I think this is one of those movies where just the visual aesthetic and the music and all that stuff is going to inspire, you know, you're going to get fashionista knockoffs of, you know, Zendaya's and Timothy Chalamet's Dune look, and it'll be a whole fashion trend. Mark my words. I'm going full Charlie on this.
Okay. So Kofi, do we want to then go down the Jim rabbit hole yet? Cause I actually do have something to add to that. Or do we want to wait to actually talk about the trailer first?
Everyone said the same thing about his Blade Runner.
Well,
movie.
I was going to bring
great.
That's what I was going to bring up. Blade Runner only from a commercial success point of view. Cause that movie is still hailed as like a great movie. It's absolutely stunning. And then it felt like when it hit the box office, no one cared. So I'm curious as to if this...
Like Jim said, these movies are made for film Twitter.
So you agree then? So you agree with...
Okay. I thought Blade Runner 2049, and everybody who is a critic and a very esteemed film writer will call me an a-hole for saying the movie was boring. Like it was visually very pleasing. It was very cool to see these things and the color scheme and the grit of it all. But at no point did I care about.
I really wanted to like that movie because like it's got everything that I like in it. I couldn't.
Well, I'm so glad Jamie's not here to like just.
But that's the biggest thing too. Like and like the Dune movie, and like we'll talk about like we'll get through the trailer, but. Like if it's got that, it's got, you know, a bit of a Game of Thrones kind of aesthetic, and you know, I know I'm probably discounting it by comparing it to that, but like again, I mean, that's another thing that I wasn't terribly into, you know, for much of, and so I think that genre just may not be my thing, but like for a movie to have a cast this stacked and look as cool as it does, I'm just not in.
I don't think I'm as out as you are. Like I'm not, I'm not like, I am definitely wanting to see the movie day one, but I just feel like I thought I'd be more excited about it with the cast and everything, but I'm not like you, I also have no affinity for the original Dune. I'm not this isn't nostalgic for me because of that. So, I mean, the cast has me excited, but really that is probably the biggest draw for me because I think it's going to be a slow burn Denny Villeneuve movie. Kofi, are you getting on me about mispronouncing a name right now?
No, I don't care about that. I think a lot of you guys like point to one Denny movie, which is Blade Runner, which I hate to break it to you.
That's the only other movie I know him.
Okay.
But also this visually matches.
Can I get my words out? Can you both shut up?
Yeah, go. Go.
So, you pointed to one movie he made, when I hate to break it to you, but Blade Runner wasn't exactly like a thrill ride from the original. So, like, I don't know what you were expecting in that sense, and maybe that's why you know, esteemed film Twitter disagrees with you on this because they actually watched the first Blade Runner and kind of knew.
No, I watched the first Blade Runner. I knew what to expect. This did not feel like the first Blade Runner.
It didn't feel like the first Blade Runner. Also,
the first Blade Runner is not a thrill movie. Let's just put that.
It's not a thrill movie, but it's way more interesting.
Jim, have you not seen Sicario?
Yeah, Sicario, Prisoners, Arrival.
Yes.
Oh, I have seen. I have seen Arrival. Okay.
Here's the thing. Here's why I keep going to Blade Runner 2049.
You even mentioned Arrival in the intro.
How did you forget? Having seen those movies, and I really like those movies, this visually matches the Blade Runner 2049 aesthetic. So then that's why I'm going to that, because to me it gives me the vibes of that movie. I think it's going to be. I mean, with how big the idea of Dune is. I feel like it has to move faster than that. It's not a movie that can.
Okay, but I don't think those movies look anything alike.
I don't know. I was gonna say. I mean, there are trench coats and there's a lot of sand. So in that sense, they are very similar.
Okay. I think the way that the shots are set up.
Yep.
And again, this is just a trailer, right? And so, but you know.
Okay,
trailer's supposed to get me excited.
Let me tell you what I'm excited about. Okay. Okay. Let's take out all the heady concepts of the political intrigue and sci-fi out of Dune. I'm excited because Rebecca Ferguson's in this as a Lady Macbeth character, and she's awesome. I'm excited because Jason Momoa doesn't look like he's going to be delivering me a boring, dramatic part. It looks like he's going to be smashing heads.
He looks like a badass.
He's a master swordsman with whatever kinetic crazy fighting style they created. Stellan Skarsgård looks like a crazy frightening good villain in this. Even Bautista looks awesome. Like it's gonna be fun. Like I'm looking forward to this. I don't think it's gonna be as boring and crazy as you know Blade Runner.
Well, see, here's what happens. I'm not as high on it as you and Matt are apparently, and I'm not as low on it as Jim is, but then I tend to agree more with Jim, and now I feel like I hate this movie before I saw it because
I'm not high though. Like it actually comes from a very like uninformed place because like Dune really just escaped me. Like I was never, I just never got sucked into that, and I know it has diehard fans and it's kind of a lot like Wheel of Time for me. Like I missed it. Like I don't know why I was doing those things. Like, I just missed it. So I'm coming at this from really just hearing about Dune over the years and hearing about the book. And so then this trailer did enough to like, I want to see more. Like it was able to hook me. And for a lot of the reasons Kofi said, like those things someone as doesn't know all the backstory and the politics and stuff can just kind of latch on to some of the cool stuff and the giant sandworm and all that. And then as long as they do a good job of bowling those pieces of lore and pieces of the world to a new person like me, it'll do enough to get me to go, you know, to see this movie. So I'm kind of in the middle, but I liked the trailer. I thought the trailer, it did a lot more. I did not expect to like this or care about this at all. And I came in and afterwards I'm like, oh, cool. That looks interesting to me. So that's where I am.
I mean, like the spice. Yeah, but even like what BD said, like I saw so many people just falling over themselves for this and being like, oh my gosh, this is the best movie trailer ever. And I'm looking at it going, where? Like I thought
it's a mood. Dune is a mood. It was a mood when David Lynch made it, just like Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks is not the greatest thing ever to sit down and watch. It's a mood.
Either
you get into the mood or you don't. I got this guy because it's a mood. And already. I'm telling you, you're going to see kids start imitating Dune wear and all that stuff. It's going to become a fashion thing. I'm just putting it out there right now.
I also think part of it is just as a quick aside, and then we got other stuff, I'm sure. But as someone who like recently went through this when The Witcher hit and there's like a devout following of fans who for the first time feel like they're getting – like real money invested and real effort invested into adapting their series. Cause a lot like Dune, right? Didn't Dune have a TV miniseries too that was kind of budgeted or something like that? Cause I know The Witcher did. The Witcher had this like very, it's kind of bad now. Like if you look at it, it's terrible. But it's only really had that. And so for the Netflix backing and all that to happen, charges up a fan base. And the Dune, I mean, if you look at this trailer, you know its quality. It might not be for everybody, but they can look at this and go, they're trying to do our franchise right. Right. I feel like you're going to get a lot of the fan base just amped up because it feels like Hollywood's trying. So, I mean, I feel like there's a part of that. And that's not a bad thing. That's just, I feel like this is the fact.
All right, we got to move on because we got a lot to do. But you can watch the Dune trailer on comicbook.com movies. Check it out. All right, moving on. Let's talk about PS5. So, last time we were talking, we were kind of circling rumors about what the Xbox Series X and S were going to be priced and how PlayStation would respond. So right now we're looking at it that Xbox Series X will be $500, Series S or like $499. Xbox Series S will be $299. And the outlet. Okay, so right now it looks like the current rumors are that the all digital PS5 will be $399, mm-hmm. and the disc drive version will be $499.
Yep, that is correct.
And so that it could be that, you know, we were talking about the game of chicken about who came out first with their price and what it forces the other company to do. And it looked like Xbox made the first move here and or has kind of gotten.
Well, they were kind of forced into that since it wasn't supposed to go till next week.
Yeah. And now, but that Sony may have had to drop their price point is their kind of speculation from a 600 range down to this range to kind of keep step.
If 600 it's 600 feels like a lot of money.
No,
it's
it doesn't. Not for a next generation console. Like, I mean, it kind of makes sense.
Like I would, as much as I would understand it, I kind of, that's a big price tag for a lot of people. Like that number
that big
hits hard.
Price tag, little man.
The number hits hard. it hits hard a little
it's
bit.
A hard
but
number.
I feel like 400 is perfect because that's the version I want.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. 400 for a digital thing. Like, yeah, I'm good. Yeah, you got me at launch. You got me at launch time. I'm not gonna mean.
Well, that's what I like so much about that Xbox pricing because here's the thing, right? Like, Xbox and PlayStation war aside or whatever, that digital price point for the Xbox combined with Game Pass combined with all that stuff is gonna make console gaming way more accessible than it will be this gen, right? Because, and it's also going to be interesting to see how Game Pass also, and we're about to talk about it, but like its effect on the secondary market, because there are a lot of great games as part of Games Pass. And those are games that you would normally go to a GameStop and spend $15 for.
Yeah.
And now you don't have to because it's available digitally. You can download it to your Xbox and boom, play it. And so like to me, the Xbox feels like way more bang for your buck than what you may get with the PlayStation right now.
Game Pass is Netflix and GameStop is Blockbuster.
I feel like, okay. Here's the thing. It's not, we can't just limit it to games like Game Pass because Game Pass has been around for a few years. Yes.
Sure.
But Steam was steamrolling GameStop a long time ago with their Steam sales. So ever since that started and you can get a full $60 game for $3, that's what really started moving this down the road. But you know, and even to a lesser extent, you know, everybody has their own now, right? Like every publisher and developer has their own little store that they're selling deals on. All of those across the board are undercutting GameStop. And that's why GameStop has moved over to collectibles more and more in the past year. So yeah, like I agree. Game Pass is a great value. And I think this actually, I agree with you, Jim, that I feel like this move, the $299 thing, moved this next generation of pricing anyway in the right direction, because then if the rumors are true and Sony did have to kind of move that down, that benefited everybody. You know, both of them are going to have a loss. Like Sony's going to have evidently a bigger loss with their high-end console, and Microsoft's still going to eat a loss with theirs, but it's not going to be as much.
And I think they'll make it up for, I mean, you might make it up in volume because more people will be able to get in on this gen sooner. And
And this console generation is weird too, because Microsoft is pushing this whole play anywhere thing. So they're not even, in every interview they do, it's like they're not even worried about selling the box because you can play that same game on PC, and a lot of people have high-end rigs. So this is weird. It's a weird, like they're not putting a lot, they're kind of almost Nintendo-ing it in that way of like, we don't care how we get you, we just care that we get you in the ecosystem. Nintendo's made that work, so you know, we'll see.
All right, Jim, you want to touch on some Fortnite Marvel stuff?
Dude, I am all in on the Fortnite train. This BD made the comment to me earlier today when we were talking about it. So I'm stealing your line, BD, but like, this season of Fortnite is a better Marvel game to me than Marvel's Avengers.
Oh, you said that earlier. You did not say it was BD's. Yeah, you totally jacked his comment.
Well, that's why I'm giving him props now. It's a better Marvel game. It's a better Marvel game than Marvel's Avengers. To me, it is way more fun. They're totally different games. I get it, right?
I mean,
the most recent update that literally came out today puts, so for players who know Fortnite, Frenzy Farm is gone. And it has been replaced with a giant, like, crater kind of lifted up into the air. And it's
Sokovia getting lifted up.
Yeah. Basically. And we get, Stark Tech, it gets its own building. Iron Man is a kind of a mini boss NPC there. You can pick up his mythic stuff, which is repulsor rays, and then, shoots out a unibeam from the chest. Which are awesome, awesome things. And they've updated some of the other mythics where if you go near where some of the Quinjets are, and they're the Stark robots, and you shoot down some of the drones, Thor's hammer is a mythic weapon that you can get now. And that's in addition to Groot's rolling ball, you know, shield thing, Silver Surfer's jump boost, and the Doctor Doom stuff. Doctor Doom's still there. And it's just a ton of fun. And then there's a mode coming out called Marvel Mayhem or something. And it's duos or trios. And basically you get randomly pre-assigned four powers. And it's just like a beat 'em up. So there's no guns. You just go at it with, you know, go at the other team and use the superpowers to beat them up. And it's, you know, it's a tournament of 16 basically. And it's been a ton of fun. The skins are awesome. The battle pass this season is great. The skins that you get are, you get Groot, you get, Dr. Doom, Storm, She-Hulk, Wolverine is the secret skin. Silver Surfer was in the item shop. Thor is the base one. I know I'm forgetting one or two more.
But there's like a leak that says Venom is coming.
Oh yeah, like Venom may be coming. Like that was something that, like, I think came out when the Marvel Mayhem stuff went live this morning, and you could see the different powers you could use. And so one of them was a Venom power, and it's like, oh, okay, well, maybe Venom is coming. So, but all in all, like, it is. I mean, it's been a ton of fun. I mean, even like the trailers they've been cutting for this thing have looked great. They're using Marvel adjacent music, and so it feels, you know, it feels awesome and epic. And I'm in for it. I love it.
It's been a lot of fun.
Matt, you want to real quick before we take us through announcements, Prince of Persia and Rainbow Six Splinter Cell?
Yeah. So today was the Ubisoft Forward, and they touched on all their big games. The previous, I think it was called Gods and Monsters, got a new name, but that actually looked really slick. It's essentially cartoony Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which I'm all in for. But the big ones were actually the Prince of Persia Sands of Time remake, which had been rumored and leaked, but we actually got a confirm and we got a full trailer, and it comes out in 2021. I mean, a lot of people are reacting positively to it. I thought it looked a little underwhelming, but then I adored the original game, so I'm hoping maybe that's just like alpha footage and things like that. We also got, because I know Kofi loves Splinter Cell, we also got Rainbow Six Siege had previously announced their operation with Sam Fisher returning, and in this presentation we got a full trailer, very like all animation intro trailer to his mission. We still haven't like received like full-on gameplay deep dive into it yet, but you know, for those who have been wanting Sam Fisher in a game again, this isn't exactly that, but it's pretty close. So, you know, fingers crossed. But yeah, it was a pretty good presentation overall. And also, Watch Dogs Legion is looking better and better. I'm getting more and more excited for this game that I completely wrote off at the beginning. I'm hoping it delivers. So, fingers crossed.
You and me too, buddy. All right. That'll do it for gaming. We are going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about the RoboCop prequel series, The Mandalorian, Power Rangers, The Walking Dead, and comics. So stay tuned for all of that.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right, coming on back, let's talk RoboCop. So the story of Murphy is a classic one that I showed my children when they were born, because it's a story that needs to be told and needs to be remembered. And now we're getting a new chapter of it, but unfortunately it won't be about Murphy. So this is a RoboCop prequel series, but it's not going to be about RoboCop. So there you have it. Still here? Still interested?
There were some great reactions to that online.
Look, I'm a big, big, big RoboCop fan.
No.
Yeah. So, like, okay, well, let's just talk about what it is. Yeah. So the prequel series will be about Dick Jones, the kind of executive that was the villain in RoboCop, and it's kind of about his corporate rise. So there you go. And I could see why that's – if you don't understand, like, Paul Verhoeven's RoboCop is a very – like everything else Verhoeven does, it became celebrated as a genre film when it was really like a subversion of genre film. And so yeah, a lot of what RoboCop's about is kind of the corporatization of America, or the corporatization of capitalism, and how, what kind of like run amok society that could lead to. And yeah, so this is a probably good time for that series about a crazy corporate shark kind of making a rise in this kind of slightly heightened sci-fi world would be, it could be really good if done well. I mean, you just got to get over that hump of initial premise of just telling people it's a RoboCop series with no RoboCop.
Yeah. I mean, I the part of the thing that excites me is the potential world building, because the thing about RoboCop is it just drops you in there and you're just left to assume like all of this stuff like just exists, right? So I've always been kind of curious to how RoboCop gets to RoboCop, and so maybe hopefully we see some of that.
It's one of those things though that, so I, one, I
some
feel
things
like
are better left unsaid. Yes,
no,
absolutely.
No, but, no, not even that, because I'm all for someone trying their hand at filling out a universe or whatever. It's just one of those things we were kind of touching on before, like, are you, because it has been celebrated as a genre film, because all the reactions I saw were, well, then it's just a cop story. Well, then it's just, well, the whole movie's about RoboCop and doing stuff. And why is it? It's the fight now is really to give people a chance. Like, if you can, I don't know how they're going to win those people over, because it seems like entrenched that movie is really about a dude blasting stuff.
They'll find a way to get RoboCop.
You know what this reminds me, this, like, the reason I'm kind of not completely out is this show, the premise reminds me of something you could do. If you ever remember that show Better Off Ted, which I believe offered through the excellent CBS All Access. It's it was a show about a crazy corporation where this guy who was a well-meaning guy worked, but he was a corporate guy at the same time. And they did research and development, and they worked on all kinds of crazy products that they were going to put out into the world. And it was like, and it was a house of zany ideas, essentially, that they worked in. And the stuff ended up harmful or whatever, but they would have to corporate it and kind of spin it to how they could use these potentially hazardous products or anything. And this is what this kind of reminds me of. It could be a great satirical show about a place that's not too far removed from some of the stuff we hear as ideas in our current society, and just dealing with like civil chaos and social upheaval with these absurd ideas, like building an Ed 209 and like all that stuff, and kind of to deal with this stuff. You could do it in a really funny kind of twisted way, but will we get that? I don't know.
We'll see.
Dead or Alive, the show is watched by me. Had to fit in one river cup.
How long have you been waiting to say that one?
30 seconds. All of 30 seconds. Jim, I'm spontaneous.
It's good, though.
Spontaneous, yeah. All right, let's move right along to something else. The Mandalorian is coming back. And, yeah, it's coming back October 30th, like we said. And we got in our first look. We got some photos showing our old familiar characters like Gina Carano and Carl Weathers. Yeah, Carl Weathers. Couldn't remember his name for a second there. I can't believe I almost forget Carl Weathers' name. That's absurd. Yeah, we even put in, you know, Mando and the child, which we're now calling Din Djarin and the child. Come on, it's Mando and Baby Yoda.
Baby Yoda.
Yeah, and we've heard some exciting rumors. I mean, this continues to be one of our most, I mean, if not the only thing in fall TV that we're looking forward to, like in deep fall. And yeah, this continues to seem like it's going to be really kind of crazy. Some Gideon. We're going to find out about the Great Purge of Mandalore. We're going to get Ahsoka Tano. We're going to get Bo-Kree's Katan. What's her name? Oh my God, I can't believe Starbuck. What's her name? I'm blanking on her name. Anyway, Rosario Dawson's Ahsoka. You know, Bo-Katan is going to be. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm blanking on her name. Who is Starbuck? Somebody look this up. Help me out here.
Wait,
I'm looking.
Katie or Trisha?
Katie Sackhoff. There you go. Thank you. Okay. So Katie Sackhoff's coming in. And now we're hearing rumor that other kind of characters from the Clone Wars and or Rebels series might be making an appearance in Mando season 2, and that would be Sabine Wren and Captain Rex. These are two people who have been speculated on for a long time because, I mean, it's kind of hard for them to do any kind of storyline about Bo-Kree's Katan, Bo-Katan Kree's, I keep reversing that, and Ahsoka Tano in the Great Purge of Mandalore, without including Sabine Wren and Captain Rex, because they literally ended Rebels with them kind of that. Yeah. And them kind of being involved in that conflict. So we don't know who's going to play them, but like I said, we've been hearing this, and this comes from Kessel Run Transmissions, which is the source that I kind of increasingly trust on Star Wars news. And it just sounds like Mandalorian season 2 is going to be really off the chain. Cool. Like, I mean, if you're a Star Wars longtime, you know, deep cut geek, this is going to be nuts. So really looking forward to that. Brandon, this is like the time you check into Star Wars and get happy about it. Like, how are you feeling?
I mean, I think I can't wait for season 2. I mean, I thought the first season was damn near a masterpiece. I used to argue that I thought the episodic format of it, like how everything was such an individualized story, almost frustrated me originally. Like I was like, well, it feels like there is like a grander story that we're connecting to. And I wanted it to focus on that, but it ended up really being satisfying how each episode had its own little objective. And I hope that continues now. At first I didn't want that. Now I want that to continue. And I mean, I'm not like it's no secret, not a Star Wars buff. We'll watch every piece of Star Wars content that comes out, with the save for, I have not watched all of Clone Wars and stuff. So, I mean, like all the, any movie, TV show right now, like, I'm going to watch it. And I think if anything, I'm most excited for new Mandalorian stuff. So yeah, I don't have the deep cut knowledge on this to dive in, but I can't wait to see Baby Yoda again.
Well, it's going to be awesome because I'm going to be enjoying everybody's kind of like fresh, new amateur conversations about, you know, the Great Purge of Mandalore and Ahsoka and Sabine Wren. We're going to have to do this thing and hearing all these complaints of why do I have to watch the animated series? Cause you do.
I don't know. I've educated myself pretty well on the Darksaber stuff, I think.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're an expert at educating yourself. We're not counting you in that. We're counting like the average person. Because
but even though you will rail on it, but you still know.
Yeah. Yeah, we know you know that stuff. But yeah, the answer, the real answer is the people who brought you The Mandalorian are the people who brought you the animated stuff. So there you go. All right.
But The Mandalorian, though, in general, has kind of always had that deep cut Star Wars stuff. And like, I would still consider myself a Star Wars novice, and I'm not at all worried about having the fact that I haven't really watched The Clone Wars or Rebels heading into season two, because I trust that I will figure it out along the way and let that just
be. Yeah, they'll probably keep it pretty basic. Like, who's yeah. Ahsoka?
But I always appreciate the fact that there is other stuff out there that is always that can be added seasoning, basically. Like, if you want to deepen your.
I mean, those shows are so good on themselves, though. Like, just by themselves, they're good.
They're just so long.
Oh, my God, Jim. All right.
Too many episodes.
Moving right along.
Too much stuff to watch.
Moving right along. What you consider hard is an interesting concept. All right. Let's move on. Matt, you want to take us through Power Rangers?
Yeah, I'll just do a real quick thing. So at the end of this month, the 25th and 26th, Hasbro is doing PulseCon, which is their first like virtual convention for their site that has all the toys and all the merchandise and everything like that. One of the cool things is there will be panels and merchandise for like all of their brands, including Power Rangers. And there will be a Power Rangers panel that for those who are kind of Power Rangers fans know that this year was supposed to be Power Morphicon. It's an every other year thing. And typically what happens is the cast of the current season kind of hands the baton over to the new cast for the next 2 years. And it's their first introduction. And like, there's really cool moments between the cast, and it's the first reveal. So it's like a really big thing, because obviously Power Morphicon had to delay their thing to 2021. We're not going to get that. But a lot of people are thinking that because the Beast Morphers cast is on this panel, not in its entirety, but a lot of the key players, that there will be some sort of, you know, announcement for Dino Fury the next season, and that we'll see that cast. There's been some leaks already, so we kind of know that they've already been cast. So we will see like that official passing of the torch type of thing virtually, but still cool. So fingers crossed that it actually happens. And you can get more details on the panel at comicbook.com. But as a Power Rangers nerd, I'm very hopeful that this actually happens, because that was a super cool thing to go from Ninja Steel to Beast Morphers. I got to be there for that, and that was a really awesome moment. So I'm hoping we get something, some semblance of that this year. So that's it.
All right. Thanks, man. Keep a lookout, Power Rangers fans. Now, we are going to move over into our deep dive, and today we've got to talk about the end of an era. The Walking Dead is coming to an end. BD, tell us what happened, because I mean, I feel like just like the comics, what was just like a year ago, or was that even in the fall? I can't remember.
God, was it a year ago, or was it just earlier this year?
It all blends together. Yeah, now.
It was a little over a year ago.
Oh my gosh,
that's craziness. Okay.
Anyway, so yeah, a little over a year ago, when we just got hit with like the surprise that Kirkman was ending the comic series, and we were like, "What?" And now we're kind of in a similar situation. Or at least I was, and it seemed like a lot of fans were caught off guard. You are the insider, BD. Tell us, like, did you see that? Did you know this was coming down the pike? Like, why didn't you prepare us for more in 2020? In all seriousness, like, what's going on here? And what's all going on with this, how the franchise is kind of branching out from here?
Yeah, so the facts here, the simple facts of it all, are that The Walking Dead is ending after season 11. It's going to be a 24-episode season 11 that will run. It'll start next fall. It'll continue in the spring of 2022 and end in the fall of 2022. 3 8-episode chunks. After that ends, there will be a Daryl and Carol spinoff show, which seems to be a continuation of the story. And I'm guessing they're just going to leave and go off on their own journey. So it's Ride with Norman Reedus in the apocalypse. And they're doing a Tales of the Walking Dead show, which this is probably the most exciting thing they've done.
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah.
And this is an episodic anthology series which will follow different characters either each episode or through mini arcs. So you could get brand new characters in different countries and different portions of this country, or anywhere at any time in the Walking Dead universe, or you That's could cool. get existing characters. So we might revisit Abraham or Glenn or anybody from the early days, or characters who kind of came and went on Fear and on The Walking Dead or whatever. So I think that sounds like the most interesting thing they've done in a very long time, and there's big potential. I just think it's too late for people to care about The Walking Dead brand with new content. Like, I mean, you're going to have your fans who are with it till the end, but it's going to be hard to introduce new fans. And so my interpretation from what I know and from what I can surmise of this, is that they always planned to end after 12, Walking Dead. I mean, at least in recent years, the plan became to end after 12. And that was communicated kind of quietly. It wasn't made public. And then with everything that has happened with the pandemic, they were forced to not produce season 11 on as planned. They added 6 episodes to season 10, which they want to start shooting as soon as October, if not a little bit earlier, but they're still figuring that out. And those are going to be the spring main Walking Dead content we're supposed to get. And so when they did that, they realized, well, we already have these 6 episodes. If we do 24 in season 11, we're only 2 episodes short of what would be season 12 in total. And also, AMC saves a lot of money. And it's no secret, AMC loves saving money. After season 11, there are some really key members of the cast whose contract would have run up. And instead of having to negotiate a new contract, which would have been very expensive for AMC and very profitable for the actors, and we've seen that that is not the way this show has operated historically. Chandler. So they decided to just kind of extend it, which, I mean, from a business perspective, it makes the most sense. Pay them, maybe it's 50% more than their season regular fee or whatever the little added bonus. If I spoke agent better, I could probably get more information on that, but I don't. So they just extended season 11 contracts a little bit and paid for more episodes instead of having to renegotiate for a whole new season. And it's going to end. But as with The Walking Dead, it's never really going to end. They're going to have those spinoffs. They're not calling it a Rick Grimes trilogy anymore. Nobody at AMC is referring to it as movies or a trilogy. They say a Rick Grimes film, which is smart. But I also I think it's all AMC has a history of getting ahead of themselves. And I think they should not have announced the Carol Darrell show. I think they should have waited. I think they should have looked at I think this stuff always goes back to Marvel because they have this franchise that looks like a genius plan that's so well thought out and planned ahead, but really it's looking at what works, looking at what doesn't work and reacting to that and doing that, and kind of letting the plan be structured, but also fluid to those plans. And 3 years from now, who knows if Carol and Daryl will still be a hot topic for fans.
More to the point, you robbed yourself of all the tension in the final seasons that these two.
Yeah. Because you know, they're going to
major,
live.
Major.
Yeah.
Tension.
Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly. So, I mean, they did it with the Rick Grimes thing. It was like this within 30 seconds of people are still crying that Andrew Lincoln is not on The Walking Dead anymore. Scott Kimball is on Talking Dead to say, but hey, please stay interested. We're doing a trilogy of movies. And now that trilogy might not even happen. It feels like. And the Carol Darrow show, probably going to happen. I know Norman Reedus and Melissa McBride are very invested in this and they're very happy to continue doing it. And I'm sure they're already signed on if it got announced. But it's just in 2023 to think about people still wanting Daryl Carol content. It just feels like it's becoming more and more niche. And that's a hard thing to market, regardless of how good the show ends up being. That said, I'm sure there is a chunk of us who are going to watch it no matter what. But I think this is the end. I think this is really the end of the Walking Dead era as we know it. I think Fear the Walking Dead is going to end in season 7. I think Walking Dead World Beyond ends after season 2. Walking Dead ends after this long season 11. And that those all are going to line up nicely to end in 2022 and then really kind of launch with a few threads of those continuing and then culminating in the movie. But I think it's going to be a very different Walking Dead franchise after this with different actors and different faces and all new stories.
I'm really upset that the anthology thing didn't happen years ago. Instead of more Fear, after Fear season 4, instead of Fear season 4 or instead of The World Beyond, if we were just about to get it right now, I'd be really happy for it right now.
Yeah.
Cause that is a great kind of use of the concept of The Walking Dead.
And from what I know about everybody involved with this show, I can only imagine Greg Nicotero was the one pushing for that. And I imagine he pushed for it a long time ago and got told, no, we can't do it right now. So he went and did Creepshow. And AMC then went ahead and picked up Creepshow episodes. And they were like, well, damn, this isn't very expensive. It's people watch it. Greg gets to kind of be Greg. Walking Dead fans love Greg's work. He's one of the most talented people on the show. I wish he had more control all along. I think I imagine that is kind of a way to keep Greg on board and let him do something that he has already proved works. And I think, like, you could do episodes in the snow. You could do episodes in Barcelona, like the comic that was Rick's brother. You can go to China and show the fall in Asia. You can do all, like,
You can do the distant future. You could do, like,
It's, I think that,
awesome
it's
the stuff, like, that, right at the fall, Last of Us style, right when the kind of collapses.
Yes, I think that is the most interesting thing we can see in The Walking Dead going forward. But hopefully, like, knowing this franchise, like, you'll have 8 episodes of that. Everyone will love episode 3, and then episode 5 will be a pile of crap, but they'll already have decided, we loved episode 5 behind the scenes. We're going to do more of that. And the fans will be like, well, we want episode 3 characters back. So hopefully they kind of let it breathe and let the fans determine what's next and stop making decisions so many years in advance as if this was a Warner Brothers panel and titles were flashing across the screen for movies we're never going to see.
Oh.
Dang.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy.
Brandon, we ended up getting New Mutants. We got Duke Nukem Forever.
We never got Gambit. We never got Green Lantern Corps. We never got... You guys were still...
Green Lantern. And, oh, man, I've been in this long enough to remember the Green Lantern Flash movie that was coming out.
Yeah, I mean, like, was it ready? I don't think... Yeah. I think both of you were at that point, so the answer to this is probably no. I don't think anybody was in Hall H when... This might have been when I went as a fan. Like, I don't know if I went for work or before I worked here and I just went purely as a fan. But one of their panels, it was 2014, 15, or 16, one of those years, they started their panel by just a montage of movie titles. Like, just movie titles. And we've only seen, like, 2 of the 10 titles.
I think that was 15.
Yeah. That they ended up showing. Yeah. And it's just...
That was the first year. That was when we had, like, Cyborg.
Batgirl,
Cyborg, like, Green Lantern Corps, Wonder Woman.
Ambush Bug.
Yeah.
We didn't get ambushed.
Booster Gold.
It's been crazy.
But I mean, it's just, I feel like there's no need to make these promises, especially if they might end up being over promises, because you have your people who are here and they're not staying because you have more content coming. They're staying because they're invested now. So I mean, some people are excited about Daryl Carroll. Some people don't care. Some people don't want it. But it is what it is. I mean, I'm with The Walking Dead.
I mean, I think after the main series ends, if you give me the anthology series and you use it to, like, launch new horror talent and stuff like that, actors, directors and stuff like that, like, I'd watch that for that showcase, even if it just had a Walking Dead name on it. I'm not watching it for any Walking Dead specific reason. I just want to see good horror stories in, like, a zompocalypse world. You can do a bunch of those. And
yeah, that'd be awesome.
And that's all I need.
If in that same, I mean, maybe you can fit it in there. Be like what if style tales, like what if Andrea never died,
I mean, well, then that would be the Walking Dead comic,
right? But like, yeah, like you could do stuff that's like, oh, hey, what if we didn't make this major screw up here, like writing a thing, and then maybe being able to bring in the original. I don't know, like how relationships are with, like, the current team of Walking Dead.
They're not great.
People who are within the show have left it. Yeah. So, you know, but it would be interesting.
I totally agree. I think that, like, what if they didn't, like, what if they didn't kill Andrea? What if the governor wasn't, like, a bad guy or something? Like,
where did Carl go?
Bring old-ass Carl back. Yeah.
Yeah.
you're going to see Carl again. I can't say any more than that.
Carl!
Fans will see Carl again.
Oh, I'm sure we will. But, like, I would love to see just him, Chandler Riggs, do a whole anthology ep. Where he's like old.
Just not a pudding hunt.
Just like future daughter named Sophia. All right. Well, that's going on. What's going on in The Walking Dead? So it's ending, but it ain't going to be gone. So I don't know. Get your feels in order, I guess. All right. Let's move over to comics. Let's just break these down really quick. Matt, I don't see like you don't feel like you wrote anything in comics.
I didn't because I completely forgot. I'm not going to lie. I completely forgot to write them in. Honestly, though, this wasn't a packed week anyway, so I will highlight a couple of the things that stood out. But honestly, what we can really talk about is because 2 of the Marvel issues that came out were Empire-related, which ties into a rant that Kofi, I feel like, wanted to get on anyway. So, I mean,
I was just giving you your thing. Like, yeah, we're going to talk Empire then.
I mean, the best things that came out this week, personally, was, I mean, Captain Marvel, that last issue, actually was a really good tie-in to Empire.
Because you love Captain Marvel.
I do, but man, this was so good. This was so good. Also, Something is Killing the Children actually is good again. It hit a thing where it wasn't that great, and now it's like this issue was great. Hopefully, fingers crossed, it'll actually stay that way. But that was, yeah, there wasn't like a ton this week. A lot of it was Empire related.
I enjoyed Rise of Ultraman. I wasn't sure how I was going
to. I did not read that one, so that's all me.
Books. Yeah, Jamie was saying all the X-Men books were great.
Marauders was actually excellent, too, by the way. I forgot about Marauders.
Marauders was very good this week.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I got to catch up on that. All right, so that's comics. Let's talk Marvel's Empire. So we already went into this kind of before it was Marvel's summer crossover. We didn't really have summer. It really wasn't much of a crossover, but, you know, whatever.
In summer.
We talked about it. And this was hyped up like all that at the end of last year into this year as this game-changing Marvel event that was going to tie back into the Kree-Skull War and do all this stuff. And I'm really going out and saying this, like, I'm not hyperbolic about comics and stuff. I don't think I've ever been accused about that. And like,
you leave that to me.
Yeah. But like, I'm seriously like wondering, and I've been trying to seriously think it through, if this is not the worst Marvel crossover I think I've ever read.
So I was going to ask you, do you like this? Do you like this better or less than Fear Itself?
The big question. Yes. I think Fear Itself was trash, but at least Fear Itself had the novelty of introducing these entities that could at least make the covers look exciting and at least get you thrilled about kind of seeing either spins on characters or these other new characters.
I think that's unfair to Fear Itself, personally. I think this is closer to Avengers X-Men trash.
Yeah, and this is just
stop.
Like,
you don't like Avengers vs. X-Men?
Oh, that is such garbage.
Stop. You are a crazy person.
Such a garbage event.
That is a crazy joke. I'm the one who's supposed to have crazy takes.
Uncanny Avengers, which was good. So we got something out of that. This was just a crossover about faceless plant people that I could not pick out as characters from one panel to the next. Doing stuff with vegetation and stuff that it was so unclear, like what the actual like threat was, what's going on. It's boring as hell. I feel like Reed Richards and Tony Stark just hung out in a room for an entire crossover.
They pretty much did.
Finally getting off the line to do something with a bunch of science I don't really get about iron ore in the sun and like stopping a sun bomb. And I'm like, what? I feel like we've gone full Marvel with just like crazy comic booky bubblegum like crap.
It didn't make sense. It was totally boring. The original conceit for it with like, especially to have like another shape-shifting race and be able like think that you're slick pulling that over by like having one of them, you know, impersonate a Skrull who like that's their whole thing.
It was
such a meh.
But I agree with Kofi, with what Kofi said, I think it was last episode, the episode before, about Empire, was that it felt like a complete bait and switch. Because you got me in. I was excited for this event. One, because I find the Skrull and the Kree stuff interesting. I like the cosmic stuff. But like the central thing of like, hey, we have someone who is both, and we have Hulkling, which the Young Avengers have always been interesting characters to me anyway. So like having that person put as their king and trying to navigate all that and take these warring races and unite them. That's interesting to me. That was what I was sold on. And then when we got in,
what this was.
It wasn't even halfway through the first issue. It was, hey, by the way, plant people, and they're angry plants. And then that was the entire thing in every issue of Empire, the main line anyway. The X-Men stuff was good. I feel like the Captain Marvel stuff was good. There was one other tie-in. I'm always blanking on what it was, but there was another one that was actually pretty good too. But everything else was all plot points. It was just like keeping track of the continuity. That's all the issues were. And then you get one little nugget of movement, and then it would be like, all right, we're gone. And then the next issue was just as choppy. And honestly, the Fallout issues that came out this week were the same, but at least they had the like thing at the very end of, hey, we're gonna push something, whether it was Seeker and like Watcher coming back out of his eye for some weird reason.
Spoiler.
I mean, okay, no one read these anyway. but they were trash anyway, so whatever. But like comes out of his eye and he's like here and he's like, and no explanation, but at least that did something, you know. But there just wasn't much of. And then at the very end, they have like the whole reason we built this up was this alliance and like seeing Hulkling become king and all that. And then at the very end, they go far in the future and they tease that it's all crumbled already and it's all broken. And then Abigail Brand comes in as like building this new thing. And that part's awesome because I like Abigail Brand, I like Sword. But why did we do all this? It seems so worthless. Like we didn't get anywhere. And it was such a cool premise. And it's like, just wasted.
The thing that like in the waste is what I really want to talk about. Like, not only was this just a nonsensical and confusing thing, first of all, it was so overstuffed. All that whole Imperial stuff on Hulkling ship, I can't tell you who any of those characters are around here. Like, and yeah, what all the intrigue was about who betrayed who and whose beef was what, who was Kree, who was Skrull, who was impersonating what. Like,
why does Spider-Man and Wolverine have a Fantastic Four suit?
Yeah, like, I can't.
Right? Is that ever explained? No.
I thought somebody knew. Oh no!
No, no one knows. I mean, it showed up that way.
I'm sure it's in one of the like the tie-ins that no one.
There's so many. There's so many. And they're all.
So, when is there not a million tie-ins with a Marvel?
But usually the main issues at least house the ideas, and then you can go further into the ideas with the spin-offs. This is so nonsensical that it looks like somebody with schizophrenia wrote these like six issues of Empire, because it's like bleh 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 here, and it's just like a panel for everything and like no explanation, and doesn't even, and usually they say for more on this, like read, you know, what Spider-Man and Wolverine are doing to get these Fantastic Four suits in.
Yeah.
Blah blah blah. None of that here. Like, it's just like we're all over
here. It's like they stuck the tie-ins and the main issue all together in one issue and then said go read the thing, which is crazy because there's two accomplished writers writing this thing.
And like the other thing that I think that they did that was really bad is they wasted so much character potential in this, and like kind of made these characters, and some of the tie-ins got a chance to focus on them and had creative teams that could focus on individual characters. But like the main series just going by itself, like, I mean, the Hulkling Wiccan stuff is 10 times more boring than it's ever been, which that could have been like a really rich thing to explore.
Like, well, and I would have liked to see more of like of Captain Glory, who's a character that I really liked during that weekly Avengers event where he debuted. And so to see him get a bit more action here, I was like, oh, cool. But like, nope.
And then he's stuck in jail.
And like, granted, like the caveat I'll put out is Marvel could have never seen what the world was going to do this year. And
no.
And so some of that feels like, you know, just like contextual, like a lot of stuff has shifted and changed in society that makes this feel kind of a little bit more irrelevant and like not focused on some of the topics it could have probably talked about. But putting that to the side, like, yeah, this was just kind of like bubblegum comic book fluff to the utmost. And it was a real disappointment. Probably the most, I think it's, if not the worst Marvel crossover, I think it's the most disappointing because of how it hyped up this epic event and then just totally kind of bricked.
Avengers vs. X-Men was the most disappointing.
Man, I am shocked at the hate on Avengers vs. X-Men.
Look, here's the thing. Black Vortex, forgettable, but I don't look at it as like, oh, it's terrible. It's just forgettable. There are a lot of forgettable
events. I like
Avengers X-Men.
I selfishly like Black Vortex because there's an alien race named after. There's an alien race named after me.
Okay, well, okay, fine. That's not, I don't have it's that. Nepotism. There's no alien that's, race
that's,
named
that's
after me.
That's my own nepotism, so that's why.
But like Avengers X-Men with such a high profile premise and potential and these just amazing things, so many characters act out of character in that book. There's no reasoning
page, literally on the first page
that happens in that book. Everyone's acting like a jerk throughout the whole thing, not just Beast, even though Beast is a jerk, but like that's, oh man, like, by the way, comics did also produce something this week, another reason why Beast is the worst X-Man. He's detaining Russians. Any ties with Russia, you're automatically put in prison. It's awful. It's an awful X-Man.
Well,
BD, what were you gonna say?
We're getting away from it now. Let's close this out.
Cyclops, the Scott Summers was just just such a dick in Avengers vs. X-Men. Whoa.
But he's even normally...
before he had the Phoenix Force. Like, no. Cyclops needs some respect. Like, somebody needs to tell a proper Cyclops story.
Like, people have.
Like, they need to get back to that.
Cyclops is great right now.
Yeah, House of X Cyclops is the best.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. Listen. All right, we're getting away from it. Empire's terrible. hopefully Swords, X of Swords is going to be a lot better.
Boo.
I'm actually
Swords?
No, I was booing Empire.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was gonna say, X of Swords, I was like, I'm actually starting to get a little bit excited about it because they're starting to seed it in some of the books. And I guess also in Empire, what book the hell did I read?
Was it you couldn't that? Tell.
Where she like takes the sword or the lady has a sword. I assume that's a Sword of X or whatever. I don't know. But anyway, I'm excited for that one.
Yeah. So we'll be hopefully talking about a better Marvel crossover to come. All right. That'll do it for this episode of Comic Book Nation. We want to thank you guys for tuning in. As always, we put up new episodes every Wednesday and Friday on comicbook.com where you can listen to the show. But a lot of more of you are listening at podcast platforms. And so we are on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Google Playlist. You can tell iHeartRadio, and you can tell any Amazon Alexa device to fire up Comic Book Nation podcast, and it'll get it playing for you. If you want to watch us, we put up live episodes on Facebook every Wednesday and Friday. If you want to talk to us, drop topics, and we're going to start some new fun things. Me and Jim were talking about things to get you guys involved in the show. Since we've got an actual base of listeners now, we want to do things to get you guys involved. So we're going to come up with some fun interactive activities, like maybe a mailbag kind of question and answer, where you guys get to fire off questions and we got to answer them. So start to hang around that hashtag Comic Book Nation, because we're going to have fun stuff for you in the coming weeks.
Can we bring a fan onto the show one day?
Yes. Yes, we can.
That would be super cool.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That could be fun.
If legally we are allowed, then legally we will abide.
Are we gonna have like holiday Comic Book Nation sweaters?
Oh, Jesus, man.
Jesus. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe.
I support that.
Yes, if you make them. Yes. All right.
Oh, I can sew.
Oh, boy.
I'm on this. Christmas light's coming.
If you still want to listen to the show after all of this.
We can't even let him end the show.
Yeah, if you want to listen to the show after all of this, you're still interested. We put out, like I said, new episodes Wednesday and Friday. Hey, Comic Book Nation, if you like the show somehow, like leave us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, because when we get back in, we're going to be sending a bunch of T-shirts out to our appreciative fans who have put up those 5-star reviews. So, yeah, we're going to get in there and show our appreciation once we get back in our merch closet. Keep that budget up. All right, that'll do it for this episode of Comic Book Nation. We want to thank you guys again. Stay healthy, stay connected, and see us when we come back. Peace.